of the families together. In future meetings, I would like to have a different type of orientation, where I would like to have husband and wife sitting together. Because some questions which I will ask, they will have to consult and answer. Some of the questions like that. All right, Krishna Kumar? Exactly, yeah. So, I thought deeply about this this kind of meetings once in a month. We have been doing this Gauranga Sabha meeting and Nityananda Sabha meetings before. Mathis are aware of it, these topics? Gauranga Sabha and Nityananda Sabha meeting, they don't know, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can tell what it is. You can tell. So before I would begin the meeting, I would like to ask every one of you to contemplate for a few, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, and say one word in your spiritual life, what you are standing for. So to make it very simple to you, I will do it myself first. Because all of us have a particular type of zeal in our spiritual life, which actually inspires us to be serious. For example, I wrote a letter to my spiritual master when I was joining that now that I am very young, I have a young blood flowing in my body. So I think, Maharaj, this is the right time for me to dedicate my life and preach the message of Krishna consciousness. Because you know, when one becomes old, you have heard this example of, you know, offering a rose that is completely old and everything, you know, that is completely shriveled and good for nothing. So when we are young, so this was one point that inspired me the most in my early days of Krishna consciousness, that we should offer all of our energies, not only the body or the mind or the intelligence and all the resources that Krishna has given us. So offering to the Lord, one should offer it to the Lord. So I heard one very famous verse in Bhagavatam. It begins like this. Svishtasya suktasya chabuddhi dattayo. What that was? Avichito artha kavibir nirupito. Idam hipumsas tapasashyutasya va. Svishtasya suktasya chabuddhi dattayo. Avichito artha kavibir nirupito. Aduttama shloka guna. Gunanu varnanam. That's the verse. Yeah. So I somehow got this verse in my early days. So which says that one should offer whatever talent one has in Krishna's service, one can offer. So I didn't know so much about the society in those days, in my very early days, that how one can use all one's talent. Whatever talent we have, we can use it in Krishna's service. So that was very inspiring to hear. Like if you like speaking, you can speak about Krishna. If you like singing, you can sing about Krishna. If you know painting, you can paint for Krishna. So using body, mind, words, our intelligence and everything in Krishna's service. When I heard this, it was something that was very remarkable for me. And that was one thing that actually drove me further in my spiritual life. I was very convinced that this is... Then I developed on the same thing. Like sannyasis hold this tridanda, you know. It represents kaya, vacha and manasa. Kayena vacha, manasendriya irva. That is buddhyatmanabhad. Prakriti sabhavat karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayana yati samarpayami. So, this point of dedicating one's body, mind and words was very inspiring to me. In fact, I took this one point and I compared the others with this, like the Mayavadis or the other classes of philosophers and all. I found that in Vaishnava life, this is 24 hours absorption in Krishna is what greatly stressed. As Krishna himself says, Satatam Kirtayan Toma, he says, Manmanabha Madbhakto. That word Nitya Yukta Upasate. Such kind of words Krishna uses. So that inspired me the most in my spiritual life, and probably I can say that that is something that always lingers in my mind as the ultimate goal of my Krishna conscious life. Someday how I can be always absorbed in the morning to night in Krishna service. So like this, I would request each of you to speak for about 2, 3, 5, maybe 4, 5 sentences. Because for representing something, isn't it, in our life. Everyone. Like if you see Dhanavir Swami, he is representing Brahmachari life, isn't it? Sannyasi life. Bhaktivinoda Swami, you all know what he is standing for. You know, every devotee is standing for something special. Similarly, what is most predominant in your mind, you think? You want 2, 3 minutes to think? You can close your eyes and think deeply. if you want. You got it, Mr. Prabhu? Who would like to speak first? I said, we don't have to go in any order. You can raise a hand. If the question is very difficult for you, then you can think in this direction. I'll give you a direction which is very easy to think. What inspired you in Krishna consciousness to come to this stage in which you all have come? That question will give you a clue to this question. Yeah. Yes, yeah. You can take the mic.
Actually, in Krishna consciousness, something which a life of sacrifice was very inspirational. Because whenever we used to attend lectures, we used to always see, right from the speakers to what they used to speak, always meant something to sacrifice for others. They themselves were the living examples, and they used to speak about spiritual life, which is meant for sacrificing. And even examples like right from Ranti Dev to even a tree who is giving all fruits to others with all the pains given to them. All these examples were very much touching and inspiring to lead a life of sacrifice for others.
Yes. You want to say more?
That's what I felt.
It was life of sacrifice when you saw in devotees, it was very inspiring to you. Yes.
I see Krishna consciousness is really the way of life because it pervading whole of our life completely from morning to evening and morning to evening till we go to bed. Everything is centered around Krishna, and this is completely practical by seeing the examples. You know, in my case, I have seen in Brahmacharya Ashram, like Radhesham Prabhu, and Grihastha Ashram, like Sarai Mataji. I cannot name, but I've seen their lives, because after seeing their lives, I felt that it's completely practical, and so much bliss involved, even though I may not experience because of my conditioning, but by seeing them, by coming in contact with them, just I experience same kind of bliss what they're experiencing. But in other process, I've seen outside what they're teaching is and what they're practicing is entirely different. And it's impossible also for them to leave what they are teaching. But Krishna consciousness is completely practical.
It's very practical. It's very good. Very
nice. I came in Krishna consciousness in Guwahati, where I was working in one company based Pune. Mainly I was searching for happiness mainly. And that time many questions arise in my mind. Why I'm suffering? Then I took many books, and the human resource development training was there, and in that I came to know we are not body, we are the soul at the age of 25. Then I contemplated on that, and I was in Assam alone there. Then I tried my level best. I was meditating. I was going up to the hill, doing meditation on the top of the hill in Nirakar. That's a perfection of a yogi like this. Still my bad, I had many bad habits actually, many bad habits. So I tried to leave that bad habits, but I could not. But I was sometimes, I want that ISKCON Zhut, Guwahati temple is on the top of the hill there also. So I went to the top of the hill, I sat in front of Rukmini Krishna temple is there. So when I started contemplating on the deities, and I did sadhana again, meditation on there. And I stayed, I don't know how I got inspired, and I went to this bookstall, there was Radhashyamananda Prabhu. So I just directly, when I got, I don't know actually how I came to these two words, because we many times hear in the lectures that I directly ask him, I want to take initiation and spiritual master, I want spiritual master, and how can I get for means deliver from this material world, because I have read the perfection of a yogi, and he told just read this Prabhupada's book, that birth beyond death, then journey towards the self discovery. He gave the those books, and I read many books before. Within 4 days, I started 16 rounds there only, and my all bad habits from that day went away. Then I got some confidence ki the holy name has some many strengths. So this is the ultimate end what I want, I'm going for. So I then, yeah, you know all the things. Then at present also in my life, I again came in for aspire for brahmachari. Then I went to the grihastha again. Again I'm thinking that nothing in my hand. I tried to force everything, but I am totally convinced that nothing is in my hand. So I am again aspiring to give more and more time for Krishna consciousness, because this total time what I am spending is totally going off track actually what I thought it previously. So it's a genuine from within, it's coming that I want to dedicate more and more time for Krishna consciousness.
So it's very inspiring to hear every devotee speak about how they began their Krishna consciousness. Like in BTJ, used to have a column and how I came to Krishna consciousness. In fact, I had included in my folk magazine, I mean in our folk meeting agenda, that in every meeting we will have one devotee speak about it for 5 minutes. So there's 5 minutes allotted for that. Surely we'll be hearing from each and every one of you. So the question that I asked you, and the second clue that I gave you, they are actually one step, there is a one step difference between them. The first question I asked you is here, and how I came to Krishna consciousness is here. So from there, if you develop how I came to Krishna consciousness, you think about it, and then when you develop on it, you will come to this point. And you will see that you are actually standing for something like that. Yes. Thank you very much. Who else would like to speak next?
Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
When I look back my 5 years in Krishna consciousness, a month back, and I was feeling that I really wasted my Krishna consciousness. Like when I look back, I see that I was a pleasure seeker. I was enjoying outside. When I came in Krishna consciousness, I was doing what I was enjoying. But now what I'm understanding is that Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness is a big responsibility, and that is only understood when I have a strong connection with my teacher. The more I'm realizing this fact that if I develop a strong connection with my teacher who's training me, then all the relations which I am getting in the devotee circle is become then I'm able to understand the value of devotees. Then I'm understanding what is the true respect which I give to, which I should give to brahmacharis, which I should give to grihasthas. So my endeavor is that how I strengthen my connection with my teacher and cultivate gratitude and deep appreciation which he is giving me, how he is cultivating me, and each and every moment he is carrying me in Krishna consciousness.
Very good. I also give opportunity to Matajis, any of them. Four devotees have men have spoken, but four Matajis speak also. If any of them is ready, I believe none of them is too shy to speak, isn't it?
Mohini Dasi. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, I was really encouraged and inspired seeing the relationship between devotees, the love and concern which they give to each and everyone, even to the new person. That was what really inspired me. And even when you have a very small problem, devotees are always there to help you. They give themselves to you. So, you know, this was what encouraged me and inspired me.
Very good. Punching, very clear cut statement, yeah. Myself, one, four or five statements, and say, all of us in our Krishna consciousness, we all are standing for something that actually drives our life, that inspires us the most in Krishna consciousness. And we can see that over a period of time we can easily perceive it. What is that aspect of Krishna consciousness which inspires you the most and which drives you? You can see that. So I was telling myself that I was very inspired by this kaya, vacha, manasa dedication of devotees. A wholehearted dedication. And although they may be doing their worldly duties also, or they may have to do this and that, Krishna is so much a part of their life, because I have not seen this kind of thing ever. In South India, generally pujas are only in the morning. After the morning puja is over, they will close the, you know, puja room, and daytime they will be seeing movies and reading, you know, Ananda Vigadan and Kumudam and all, magazines and all, you know. So, I saw him only in this moment that Krishna is 24 hours a part of their life, you know, I was telling. A part of devotee's life. That inspired me the most, and that inspires me the most even now also. Similarly, I asked all the devotees that you all have to say something that is the driving force for you, what inspires you, and which touches your heart very much. So, and I said, in case you don't know what it is so obviously, then you could go one step below to see how you came to Krishna consciousness. You know, when you see from the beginning, which is one step below, then you will understand that yes, this is what actually has been inspiring me. So I am asking everyone to say. Some of them are making very clear-cut statements. Very nice it is to understand, yeah. Yes. Anybody else is ready?
No. Yeah. I am Parameshwari Dasi. When I came in Krishna consciousness, I got inspired mainly by seeing the qualities of devotees, that is to enveloping the devotees with great care and nurturing them with great love. And also the dedication and conviction towards this mission, I got inspired by these qualities of devotees. Hare
Krishna. What has been most inspiring for me in Krishna consciousness is that for every doubt or, you know, any question that I always had, there was always the perfect answer for it. It is not that, I mean, there are still so many things which you know, we call as inconceivable. But even that has become acceptable, you know, somehow, over a period of time. I have understood that, yes, certain things are actually inconceivable, and it is not that we must keep striving, you know, to ask for that. So that has been a very inspiring thing, that over the period of years I have seen anything means not only, you know, something related to science or something, but also, you know, whether traditional, cultural, I mean, every aspect in life, if you see, Krishna consciousness has an answer for that. I've also seen that there is no other answer outside of Krishna consciousness which can satisfy, you know, that particular query which is there. So that has been very inspiring for me always.
Hare Krishna. But mine is also matching with Krishna through the scientific explanation that I got in the beginning days of my Krishna consciousness, the presentation of the whole, like, with logical and other supports and statistics. It was something very inspiring to me, actually. I got convinced in the beginning days of Krishna itself that something I had to do in my life, that means worshipping Krishna and serving devotees. Mm. And in later part, after getting convinced, is what inspiring me nowadays is how the devotees are taking care of each other, loving each other, and they are rendering service to other Vaishnavas and their Guru Maharaj. So that is inspiring me to render more service in my spiritual life, so that I can also satisfy devotees in my life.
Prashe, how I came to Krishna consciousness was seeing the movement being led by very dynamic and talented people. Like, we saw in Brahmachari, before meeting any Brahmachari, I was with Krishna Kishore Prabhu, and my one major attraction was he was PhD topper. So that was one of my attractions. And then he answered a lot of questions, was very nicely answered. That was but then seeing the dynamism of the devotees and, you know, engaging, that was also a very nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that made me continue. But then problem was that I could have been attracted by any other dynamic and intelligently led movement also otherwise, like RSS or like that. But I don't know whether I could have stayed back there, because the kind of explanation and the conviction which we can have in Krishna consciousness and godly life, outsiders they can hardly have.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is the conviction of the devotees who are very dynamic and talented leaders.
Uh,
Actually, when I heard first time the shloka that Ananya Shintentoma Yejana Paryupasate, Tesha Nitya Vyuktana Yogakshemam Vamyam, and when I heard the translation, wherever you are lacking, I'll carry. So I was very much inspired by that small statement, because having so many lacunas in me till today also, and after a few years when I looked back to my life after coming to Krishna consciousness and spending some few years, I found that in my difficult situation really the Krishna has carried away, and always the one thought the Samo Paramatma is striking, always the difficulties are ahead also. So it somehow forces me that you have to continue. So that inspires me a lot to continue in the Krishna consciousness.
Very good. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was finding myself, my life going on normally, like, you know, studies and other things. Things were happening one after another, but I was not satisfied. And the way outside world was going, that also was not satisfactory. And then I came in the Association of Devotees through some programs. And when I started staying, then I liked the way devotees were living, their lifestyle, their attitude, and how their activities were centered around the spiritual life. And one important thing was that almost all the devotees, their aim was to please their seniors or who had brought them to Krishna consciousness, or who they were guiding them. So there was no aspect of duplicity or politics and other things were not there. So I thought that the devotees are leading a very pure life. And that time, one thought was always in my mind that my commitment with this type of life is not going to be there for a small time, it is going to be there for a long time. Although my picture was not clear in the mind whether I am, in which direction I will be going, but this thing was there in my mind, and somehow during the last years as I stayed with devotees, I came to this stage. Mm, very good.
Gopi Lala is ready to spare both of you.
Huh? When I came in contact with the devotees, I was, I'm still a proud man, but now at least I'm realizing that I'm very proud. In fact, there were days when I used to think that what is so great about what Prabhupada did? Even I can do what Prabhupada did. This is the extent to which I was proud. Now I am being stripped naked, understanding that I cannot do even a mustard seed of what Prabhupada did. What is inspiring for me to go or continue with it is two slokas from Bhagavad Gita. One is, Yadyad Atharati Steshas Tattad Yevetro Janaha Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokastha Danuvartate. Over a period of time I understood that I am an idiot, I am fool number one, I am a coward, I don't have any qualities. Just like as Krishna says that whatever great men do, common men follow. So I just look upon the great souls like Maharaj, like Gaurang Prabhu, like Radhesham Prabhu, etc. And just somehow simply try to apply whatever they are doing, then definitely I'll also be able to perfect my life. This is one sloka which always gives me hope that yes, there are some people who are perfect in life. So simply following in their footsteps, following their instructions, I'll also be able to perfect my life. That is one. Second thing which gives me immense hope is this sloka. Apichedasi papebhyo sarvebhyo papakrittamaha sarvam jnanam plaveneva vrijinam santarishyasihi. Because there is nobody in this earth, in this whole creation, who can give this kind of promise. That even if you are among the leader, among the group of people who have committed all kinds of sins, just please be seated in this boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over, Krishna says. There is, I mean, I am 100% convinced that there is nobody else who can give this kind of a promise. Because introspecting myself, I have an ocean of all bad qualities. So the only hope is that simply by being in the association of devotees, one day at least I will get a taste and desire to perfect my life. That is one force which is always driving me. That yes, be with the devotees, everything will become all right one day.
Amazing. Harishna? Talking in between the class on a mobile like this. But I'm subordinate to my superiors. That's why I was asking who is that on the phone. If it is my boss, then I have to talk. If it is some equal or junior, I'll tell him, head up, don't disturb me. Call later, you know. And say that. In fact, Brahmacharya classes, every class, you know, few calls come, Maharaja's call, you know, Lokanath Swami and Gopakrishna Maharaj and all of them. I'm sorry. Hope you don't get offended by this, huh? It's not a good habit to talk in the middle of the class.
This is not a, such a formal year.
Stars, but I can always talk later with some of them, but these are all very senior people, those who are calling. This is one of my Shiksha Gurus first, Kapil Prabhu, yeah. From Juhu, Asaraj Prabhu, Kapil Prabhu. Yeah. So wonderful, Sundarakshan Prabhu, very brilliant. So he felt offended that I spoke in between? Okay.
Along with him, maybe his boss also
was. Yeah. Earlier I used to switch off, then I would get scolding from Maharaj, you know. Maharaj once, Gopakrishna Maharaj was telling me that, I'm calling every time I call your mobile, switch it off. Saying, yeah. Very nice. So inspiring to hear, huh? Different devotees. Who else would like to speak? I believe all of you don't feel that I'm forcing you to speak up, isn't it? If anybody feels, you know, you feel a little shy to speak in front of everyone, you don't have to. Otherwise you can speak. The mic is available? Mm-hmm. Anybody else is ready? No? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. To tell you how I've come to Krishna consciousness is a long story. But then I would like to
say... That is why I didn't ask that question. Actually, that we are going to give opportunity to everyone. One opportunity. Every meeting there will be one. Huh? Personality who can speak. So I put a question a little differently. Yeah.
Still, I'll say in short, like, it's all causeless mercy of all Vaishnavas and Krishna that I'm here. Because I remember...
It's a Shastric language, isn't it? It's a Shastric, Bhagavatam language.
Because I remember from my childhood, say when I was in, say, 7 or 8 years, I'm in touch with, you know, devotees indirectly. And just because of that only I'm here. Like, very short, I'll tell you two, three incidents. Like, we used to go to Bombay for my brother's operation and checkups every 6 months in the night passenger. So, I met devotees, means I didn't talk to them. But they used to carry this Gopi Chanan, and because of that, I was so fascinated for the smell, na, that I still remember it.
Hmm.
And now, whenever I put the tilak, I remember. And then, since I'm born and brought up in Pune, I used to pass outside the temple. I used to see the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and whenever I used to pass, I used to read that. I used to read that ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness founder Acharya. I used to read all that and go. And I mean, then I came across Prabhuji. He told me so much about the philosophy. And then at last Radhisham Prabhu gave us the permission to get married. And then Satyavati Mataji, she arranged everything for our marriage. So you can see like it's just causeless mercy of all Vaishnavas and Krishna that you come to Krishna consciousness. Now, second question that Prabhuji asked was like, for what you stand? Now, my spiritual life is on four pillars, four strong pillars. One is Srila Prabhupada. Second pillar is His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. third pillar is Radhisham Prabhu, and the fourth one is Srinavdi Prabhu. Now all these four people are, I mean, like Srila Prabhupada, his surrender for the holy name, I strive for that. Like when he was going to US in Jalduta, there was nobody, there was nothing with him, and he suffered from heart stroke. Only thing that he depended was on the holy name. So I'm trying to, Hare Krishna. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he always stresses to become humble, submissive servant of the servant of the servant of the servants of the servants of his spiritual master, Krishna. I strive for that. And Radhisham Prabhu, his surrender to the order of spiritual master. And my Prabhuji, there is no, I can't say anything about him. He's so much, he's an ocean of compassion, I can say. Every moment of my life, I derive inspiration from him because he's the closest person to me. He's Hare Krishna. So, my spiritual life, I cannot imagine my spiritual life without these four people in my life. That's it. Hare Krishna.
See how the devotional items also she was telling, no, about the tilak, and you know, I was remembering this kinjal kamishta tulasi makaranda vayu. How, you know, smelling of the incense sticks or smelling of tilak or seeing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, these are all these things actually accumulate as ajnana sukriti more and more and more. They become ripe to a stage when the Krishna consciousness becomes awakened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very wonderful.
Hare Krishna. Before coming into Krishna consciousness, the words like love, sacrifice, humility, okay, these were more of a poetic words, good for you know, textbooks, or I mean nice story books or maybe film stories to me. But fortunately, and by Krishna's grace, by devotees' blessings, with these three qualities I had got attracted in this Krishna consciousness movement more than some philosophical questions.
What are the three? One is love.
That is abundance, love provided, love and compassion provided by Premnidhi Prabhu. Utmost degree of sacrifice and surrender displayed by Gausunda Prabhu. Yeah. And despite having abundance qualities, inconceivable qualities, being humble, that quality is shown by His Grace Radhesham Prabhu. So I had this opportunity by Krishna's grace to get exposed to these three great personalities or these three great qualities, and which really got me, you know, just forced me into Krishna consciousness. As some devotee said, you know, pleasure seeking. So similarly, I was looking out for happiness, probably at the wrong place. But then answering to Radhisham Prabhu's specific question, what keeps me inspiring or ticking, is that we have been always told that this process is a science. If you apply it correctly, that is, you have your perfection in sadhana, you follow what your seniors say, surrender yourself, become tolerant, humble, then definitely the result is guaranteed. I mean, glimpse of result is you get happiness, spiritual happiness, which lasts long. And like science or experiment, if you don't do it, then it doesn't work. Immediately you get the ill effects. Mm-hmm. So, when I look back, when I was introduced in 95, maybe 7-8 years of my Krishna consciousness. So I had this opportunity, I mean again fortunately enough, I had opportunity as a student getting exposed to preaching, then probably as a brahmacharya training for 1 year in temple, getting exposed to brahmacharya life, you know, great austerity and sacrifice, and then I'm going through grihastha life. So all these phases I had fortune, I would say, to go through all three phases, and in all three phases I had ups and downs. like you know, you progress. I hope it happens with all devotees, but with me it happens more frequently, you know, up and down in spiritual progress, as far as spiritual progress is concerned. But when I look back and analyze, I've always seen whenever I have followed these principles, I have done good sadhana, you know, try to serve more and more, surrender yourselves to the instructions, and humbly and very tolerantly do your activities, then I was really blissful during those period. And when I don't do it, even now, then I'm completely miserable. So this one fact, that this process really works and it delivers what it had promised, this keeps me going.
Very Hare Krishna. Ready? If you want, you can speak in Hindi also, no problem.
Actually, before coming to Krishna consciousness, actually I had many questions, but actually I never get answer of this. So when I came in Krishna consciousness in Nigdi, so actually whatever question I had, I got the answer of that. Because of association of Krishnanand Prabhu and all Nigdi devotees. Actually, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was suffering like anything, because I was in athletics, so I was to run very, actually my life was completely miserable. But when I came in Krishna consciousness, so actually association of devotee, and actually I inspired by that Vrindavan Yatra, our Maharaj association. And when I came in Pune temple, that Premnidhi Prabhu caught me here in temple. So Premnidhi Prabhu gave me a lot of love, because of he took me, actually he used to take me all programs, his programs, on, and you also used to take me all your programs. So because of and this and this, I stayed in temple for 4 or 5 years. So association of Brahmachari and all lectures and morning programs inspired me a lot of. So that's why I'm here now.
Please forgive me if I don't speak properly. In my ISKCON days, my father always would tell me this statement that early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. So it was the toughest challenge for my for first 23 years of my ISKCON days. My father used to get up at 4 o'clock, and I know that even in the whole world, the achievers in their own fields, whether it was academics, it was politics, it was soldiers, all great leaders, they have really been able to achieve their goal because of their dedication in the morning hours. And it was a challenge to me that when will the day come when I could get up actually also in the morning. It was not possible actually. And I was in a circle of friends who had a lifestyle, like they used to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning and they used to get up by 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was impossible. So when I first met devotees, they told me that we get up in the morning at 4 o'clock. So I said, let me see you now. So they told me that you can come for Mangal Arati. And the first day, I got up, I saw all the devotees were sleeping, but I had gotten up. So I felt, okay, I have achieved the first step of the success. And I was asking Vrijanand Prabhu, please get up, Prabhuji, it's already late for Mangal Arati. So he said, no, we have still, because devotees rush for Mangal Arati, they always 15 minutes. So I was already ready by 3:30 for the first day. And after that, I have seen, for all perfection of my spiritual life, or if at all there could be any achievement, it was only possible for only those days when I did proper sadhana in the morning hours. And if there had been any failure, was also because that I could not do sadhana in my morning hours. And the best inspiration I derive is from all the great personalities like His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So I know how he strived best in those hours, and that is why he's able to stand and he's able to make everyone stand with him. Therefore it is actually my aspiration, and I have got full conviction that the only pillar which I can stand, which on which my spiritual life can stand, is if I can if I can really be able to follow this morning program. Therefore I can follow any instruction of my spiritual master, any authority. I have got that much conviction. No one can actually change that conviction for me. So that way I can pray, I can ask you to pray for me that if I could follow this one instruction, I can surely dedicate my life completely for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol.
He can say now, he will be standing for morning sadhana in the future, like that.
What no, that is something that that actually inspires us the most to go on. Because you know, this is basically a conviction, the thing that gives you the conviction to go on.
Yeah.
We say there are things which we stand for which are generally arising from those convictions. Like for example, you will see him preaching to many people that you know, morning program is very important. You will see that. Because when you have conviction on something, that keeps coming out also when you speak. Yeah, in your preaching it will come. Because you know, although all of us are preaching, you will see that now we will be stressing on something, you will see that. The stress actually comes from this, which we are talking today. Like some of them will stress on, you know, caring, loving relationship very strongly because they stand for that actually. In fact, they give it and they get it also. You will see that many people. So you will see that, like Ranjan Swami, for example, we were talking, you know, he talks a lot about humility in the lectures because he himself is very, very humble. And he likes that quality the most, you know. If you ask Maharaj, can you say one word that the whole Krishna consciousness can be represented? What do you think Maharaj will say? Trinada Vishnu, humility, isn't it? Like that. So every one of us have something that is outstandingly and you know, overwhelmingly seen in a person, which gives him the conviction. Anybody else who hasn't spoken any Maharaj? Mike?
Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we are trying to find happiness somewhere else. Whenever I used to watch these TV series like Ramayana and Mahabharata, I used to always feel, you know, ki why wasn't I born in Satyuga or Dwapar Yuga or Treta Yuga? These people, they lead such God-conscious lives.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came to Krishna consciousness, when I saw Janma Mataji and pure devotees like Radhisham Prabhu and Vrindavan Prabhu, I thought, yes, these people are from different ashram and varna. But it is possible to lead a pure Krishna conscious life even in Kali Yuga. So this was the mainly driving force that if our Krishna conscious philosophy, it is not just sentimentalism, it is very scientific that we can lead a pure Krishna conscious life.
All Madhya Sarava? So I would like to say a few words, maybe 10-15 minutes on the topic of dedication. So I was telling you in the beginning about what actually inspires me with body, mind and words. So dedication is one quality that charms the heart of anybody who is coming in contact with the person who is dedicated. I was reading in Lilamrit that when Srila Prabhupada was living in the West, so people would come and see him. So Prabhupada was like a child, they say, in his quality. So a person, one of the qualities of a dedicated person is that he is always joyful. He is blissful and he is very convinced of what that person is doing. He is 100% convinced. So Prabhupada was like that. He was very convinced of Krishna consciousness. And let the whole world do whatever they want to do, but I am happy in Krishna consciousness. He was like that. That is why it is said, one of the qualities of a leader is that he looks for circumstances and opportunities, and if he doesn't get them, he creates them, it is said. And that is very true for Srila Prabhupada. So he looked for Krishna consciousness in the West and he didn't find it, so he created it there, established it there. And when Prabhupada was sitting in the park bench, when Reuben came, one subway conductor asked him, and Prabhupada was just like an innocent child, he was explaining how there are temples, there are devotees, there are mridangams, there are kartals, you know, there are sankirtan vans. He was talking all that he wanted to do. And he seemed pretty old. So Reuben was surprised. What do you mean? Do you have all these things? And Prabhupada said, no, everything is there. Only time is separating, he said. So that was his conviction. He had a very, very great conviction. He was convinced about it. So Prabhupada says, 2.40, second chapter, 40th verse of Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir, Ekeha Kurunandana. So that verse actually, Prabhupada says, inspired him the most. Because according to that verse, you know the song, Sirupa Manjari Pada song. In that it says, no, Sai Tapa, Sai Mora, Sai Tapa, Sai Vansha, yeah, Sai Vrata. If you see, no, he says, oh, Rupamanjari, you know, shed of your feet is my only shelter. Japa also, I chant your name. So if you see, every one of it, it says, in a pinpointed way, because we are Rupanugas. In the same manner, Prabhupada was like fully focused on the instruction of his guru, no matter how difficult it would be. And thus I saw, when I read in Lilamrita in different section, when he was one time in bedridden in India, this was in later years, I think, probably 1976 or 77, I think. Somebody told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, if you leave the hospital and go abroad, doctor says that you may even die. You know what Prabhupada said in answer to that? He said, if I die in America, you can bury me in one of the tallest buildings in the roof. And I don't mind, he said. It's not that I have to die only in Vrindavan. Let me die preaching, he said. So this was his conviction. So generally one would desire that when I get old, I should be in Vrindavan, you know. I should be spending my last years in Vrindavan. Generally people plan out like that. But Prabhupada was ready to go out in that manner. And also, so one quality I was telling about dedication is that a person is very jolly, very enthusiastic. When you have faith, you can be enthusiastic. And you will not be slow, you will be very confident. Just like when you are going in the road, like say from here you are going in the road, and the road bifurcates into two. Then you don't know exactly to attain your destination you should go in this road or this road. So when that doubt sets in your mind, do you think you can go fastly with your car? You cannot go, because when you go some distance, you'll be looking for some people. Can any of you tell me whether I am in the right track? And in India, people nod their head both ways. Some people say you are right, some people say no, you are wrong. When you are going in the road. So sometimes you get confused, you don't know. So you cannot drive the vehicle very fast. But then after going 5 kilometers, somebody tells you, oh, you should be taking a parallel road, you know, the another road. Then you'll have to retrace your path back, you know. You have to come back all the way and then you have to go. So, this kind of conviction in Krishna consciousness also comes as a result of dedication. It's one of the symptoms of dedication, that one is convinced, one is enthusiastic, but what one is doing. And dedication also means utilizing some of the most important resources which we give for that thing which we think is important. Can somebody give an example for this? Lions Club, isn't it? They meet regularly, every Monday evening they have a meeting. And they are planning out many varieties of social services. And you can see similar clubs. There is Rotary Club, there is Pune Club, you know, different kinds of clubs like that. So you will find yourself spending majority of your time, energy, resources, and most importantly, your space of the mind in that place or that thing in which you have dedication. So we can see that Prabhupada, although he was a big businessman in Allahabad, he had a business and he was doing business. If you read Lilamrita, you will see that he was thinking in his mind that let the sadhus come and let the Gaudiya Math people come and I will give them some donation whenever they come. And he liked supporting them, supporting the activities. So once Prabhupada went to one of the Gaudiya Maths where somehow they asked him to give a lecture. So although Prabhupada felt himself incompetent that I am a grihastha and how can I give lecture. But somehow they very much requested him and he gave a lecture. And when others heard it, they were really stunned that he was speaking such words of wisdom, such words with fully invested with power. Then they went to the Prasanna Sruti and said that this person, you should be fully dedicated. You should join full time, as we call it. And why can't he be in the mat? Why didn't you make him the president? But Prasanna Sruti refused. He said, no, don't worry. When time comes, he will do everything. The right time comes. So he was waiting, but then he knew as a guru that one day this person is going to become a preacher of a worldwide preacher of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada did that. You can see that. So you can see Prabhupada's dedication as a grihastha. That is a very good example that you can read from Lilamrita in many places. See, as a grihastha, he followed the heart of his order of a spiritual master. Like, he would call the neighbors to come for Bhagavatam class. If no one is there, then he would read Bhagavatam and then wife would be hearing Bhagavatam. But somehow she wasn't very interested. Rather, she would prefer sometimes going to the loft, sitting there with her children and drinking tea. So Prabhupada became very upset saying that. But then he never lost his enthusiasm. He continued giving classes, calling people. And after that you will find Prabhupada going and meeting big people, telling them about Krishna consciousness. When you read those letters, it is so touching to heart. How he wrote to some of the business people. Sumati Maharaji, he wrote to her. And many, many big people, he would go and meet big people. Sometimes he would write letters to President of India also. Some governor of some state, President of India. He would find out who are the big people and he would write letters to them. And in that he would say that I want to propagate Krishna consciousness everywhere. My Guru has ordered me to preach, so I want to preach. Please help me. And hardly any help came. Hundreds of letters went from him, and some of those letters were stored also, preserved. But then there was hardly any response. And when he started back to Godhead, you can see how he would go to the tea shops, sell one by one copy. So, seeing his dedication even in India preaching is so inspiring. In fact, it is said that he would go to the press, he would get it printed, and he would not give the money. And the press person would say that you have to give me the money within such and such time. So he has to buy the copy, sell them, get the money and pay it back to him. So he was doing like that. So his business collapsed. And then he was practically struggling all alone. That's why the chapter is entitled Crying Alone in Wilderness. You'll read that. Similarly, when he went abroad also, as Mataji was saying also today, 1 year there was practically no preaching. He was trying to preach, but no response from anybody. And at the end of first year, even today those letters are preserved. Many discouraging letters came to Prabhupada from his godbrothers. Some of them said, these are mlechas, they will not change. Why are you wasting your time with these people? And some of them said, you are already old. You should be spending time in Vrindavan. His own godbrothers were writing letters like that. But he never got discouraged. So this is another symptom of dedication. That means a person follows the order of the spiritual master in an unflinching manner. You have heard the word unflinching determination? So not only he is enthusiastic or convinced about it internally, but that internal conviction precipitates as Again, I should not use the same word dedication. It manifests as activity, service. And in that service, one never turns back, one goes ahead and ahead and ahead. Like that. Despite all the obstacles falling in the way, midway. It was like that, very, very highly dedicated. And you can see the fruit of Prabhupada's dedication. How? Also, dedication has another meaning, which is consistency. Consistency is also a subset of dedication. Consistency means day after day, month after month, year after year. One goes on and on and on. One time, His Holiness Ranasamy was telling that people feel a great joy in seeing that somebody did not leave the movement, but is continuing, despite difficulties. One practical example comes to my mind. I went to Mayapur Yatra in 1993. So, in that yatra, what inspired me the most was one brahmachari who used to play on the gonga, what do you call that? That round one. They play with a stick, no? Tick, 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 tick. Gong, gong, yeah. He was playing on the gong, one brahmachari. So in Tulasi Arati, if you see how they conduct Tulasi Arati in Mayapur, it's a big festival. If you see the Tulasi Arati. First the singer, he sings very, very sweetly there in Mayapur. Very sweetly he will sing. And then when it comes to Ayinivedana, there onwards the dancing will slowly begin. Then Yanika and Chapavani, when they come after the Hare Krishna, they sing. So they would go round and round, they would dance. The Mridangam person will dance, The gong person would dance, Kartal people would dance. And they would, go down like this and go like this. You have seen that? Mayapur. So this boy, he would always come to the center and he would rotate, playing on the gong. Very beautifully he would dance. So I saw that my heart was really throbbing. It really melted seeing that one. Actually, I felt as if I was taken back some 500 years ago in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's period. It was appearing like that. So I came back, then 95 I went, and then 97 I went. So we went many, many years. And recently we went for the Mahaprayatra one year ago. I found the same boy, the same person, playing the same gong, in the same manner dancing. Only difference is he finds some wrinkles on the face. He has gotten old now. Probably almost 10 years have passed. But with same enthusiasm, the same spirit. That was really thrilling. My hairs were standing on end. Tears were coming to my eyes to see that person. Because there was one person who inspired me even before I joined the ashram. I don't even know his name. I never took the trouble to know his name. But he still inspires me. I know who that person is. I have seen and it inspires like that. So this is also one aspect of dedication that people observed in Srila Prabhupada, that this man, like one of the disciples of Prabhupada writes, like, even if all of us would turn back and go away, this man is not going to leave. He will go on. That kind of conviction they saw in Prabhupada. That kind of consistency. So Radhana Swami always stresses on consistency. That one should be very consistent in Krishna consciousness. That means he sees whenever somebody is made a counselor or something, he will see the seniority. When I went for one Air Force interview, there was a debate on whether promotions be based on seniority or should be based on efficiency. So there was a big debate and it went on for a long time. Often the companies would say efficiency, generally. But Maharaj sees a lot on seniority, puts a lot of stress. According to his viewpoint, I have seen, if a senior is even little less efficient, it is better to have a consistent senior than to have a very dynamic and enthusiastic, efficient newcomer. Because the enthusiasm should not be like a flower pot. It goes and it falls off. And he puts a lot of faith in the years. When somebody has shown years of dedication, he puts a lot of faith in that. He says that this person must be really special because he has stayed so many years, year after. And I have seen him in speaking also. Whenever he chooses somebody for some service, he will say, year after year this devotee has been serving like that. We can see that he highlights that. So people could see that in Prabhupada, that consistency. And consistency not only just staying like a vegetable in a moment, but staying in Krishna consciousness, alive, very, very, he was always in that Krishna conscious spirit. Wherever he went out with the disciples in the early morning, or he went for a program, every comment he made was Krishna conscious, when he was speaking also. One day they were preaching all day. Prabhupada had about 6 or 7 programs in that day, meeting some big man, doing some program here, doing some program there. And the night they came back at 10 o'clock, Prabhupada was very hungry. Because they hadn't taken anything all day. And they brought some hot puris. And the Prabhupada was eating the puri and said, see, this is the life of a devotee, he was telling. Just preach all day and take prasad and take rest. Again you get up and preach all day. So, every moment he was Krishna conscious. So, dedication means, dedication to anything actually involves a complete absorption in that consciousness of that activity. Like you will see, as soon as you see some people, you see that this person is very absorbed in that thing. For example, Ayendra Prabhu, you see. What comes to your mind immediately? Vrindavan Mellas, huh? Isn't it Kirtans? Isn't it? Or you say Bibi Govind Maharaj, isn't it? Immediately that tune comes to your mind when you see him like that. Jayadev Swami, when you see, what comes to your mind? Isn't it? Smashing misconceptions, isn't it? Straight thinking and strong speaking. And he gave a seminar on that. That also. So he's dedicated to that. Speaking straight. So he is famous for his loyalty to Prabhupada. Bhaktivika Swami also. Once we met Bhaktivika Swami. And I told Bhaktivika Swami, Maharaj, you had never told that you are going to come. But Jayadeva Swami had said that he is going to come. But then he didn't come. But without you informing us, you gave us a pleasant surprise. So you are in Pune now, we are very happy. I am saying. And he said, Anyway, there is no problem whether I come or he comes. We are a good substitute for one another. He said, Bhakti Goswami. So they both are famous for smashing misconceptions. So they are dedicated to that. That is one kind of dedication to Prabhupada. Similarly, you see Prabhupada's disciples, when you see that type of dedication to a particular service are showing the consistency year after year. That is very, very pleasing and very, very inspiring. So in our Krishna conscious life, in the early stages, we have to see what am I doing? Or how much am I doing? That's very important. We have to see how much quantity of service am I doing. Quantity is certainly very important. We have to see that. But as one advances more and more, how am I doing, what am I doing becomes more important as we advance more and more. What is the quality of our consciousness with which we do things? Because we do the same things over and over again. Like, you know, we rise in the morning, chanting 16 rounds, reading books, and most of the philosophy you know already. And what is new? What is new is our ever-fresh consciousness. That's what is new. So how can one keep ever-fresh consciousness? For that, it depends on how you do what you do. If you pay attention to how you do what you do, then you will never get bored with Krishna consciousness. You will never get tired of Krishna consciousness. You may hear these statements and become surprised. What is this tiredness in Krishna consciousness? One can become tired mentally if one is doing the same activity, especially if that person considers that activity material. Then we get tired. Like if we sing some cinema song, you know, over a period of time, we get tired of it. We want a new song. But in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says that we chant Hare Krishna every day. Not that after 1 year you want to have a change of mantra. You want to exchange with another mantra. No. So, to not get tired, one has to pay attention to the quality of doing that work. I'll tell you a practical example for this. There is one devotee called Ananda Prabhu. He is not an initiated devotee. Myself and Krishna Shripu know very well. Yeah, his name is Anand. So he has been in Chinmaya Mission for many years, almost 15 years or so. And then now he became Krishna conscious. He became fascinated with Krishna consciousness, attracted, and now he has become totally devoted and dedicated. Although he is not initiated, if you observe his behavior, you will think that this fellow was initiated several years ago. He will look like a 10 or 15 year old devotee. The way he speaks, the way he has assimilated the philosophy and the enthusiasm that he shows, and the way he inspires the people around him, like that. So he was given the instruction by his temple president to take up Bhakti Vriksha. So he wrote a letter. Of course he writes to me, he writes to Krishna Shri Prabhu. First, when I went to Hyderabad once, he came and met me and said, Prabhuji, I read your best friend book and I have some questions in that. That's what he came. He asked many questions to me and I saw that he's a very promising devotee, very, very serious person. Then I put him in touch with Krishna Kishore Prabhu. I told him that this person will be your counselor and he and his wife, they will guide your family and all. Then immediately he took it. Then how he wrote letters to you, you can see, isn't it? He wrote letters in a very serious manner. The Rajasham has ordered me to take counseling under you and all that. So he was writing to him. Later, when his president made him Bhakti Vriksha leader, he wrote to me, he wrote to him, he wrote to the president, he wrote to, you know, almost many, many seniors there. Basically, what he writes in the letter is that, begging for the mercy and blessings of all the Vaishnavas. He is saying that, you know, by the causes of mercy of Shri Radha and Krishna, Shri Gaurnita, Srila Prabhupada, and all the Acharyas in the Sampradaya, and my beloved spiritual master, and the seniors like dash, dash, dash and dash, four of them. This greatest mercy has been showered upon me. Now I am writing this letter to you so that you can, you know, dole out your blessings in my begging bowl. You remember? I am going to begin my Bhakti Vriksha. In fact, I have no qualification to begin this. I am a fool and I have not spent many years in Krishna consciousness. But somehow because of the instruction, I am forced to accept the order. Like that, it is almost like 2-page letter, you know, he had written. So when one of his boys called Ramnath Lakshman, you know, he is in another city, Vijayawada, he is going to begin Bhakti Vriksha now. His president had told him. So he asked Anand Prabhu, whether can I begin my Bhakti Vriksham? Now Anand has become 1 year senior now. So he writes to him. So he's telling Ravana Lakshman that, you know, see, you should not begin without fulfilling this prerequisite of, you know, achieving the mercy and blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas, and has given him a list of 12 people's names, you know. Yeah. You have to write an email to each and every one of them, and only after you get reply from them you should begin. You know, he had written like that, and you know, practically to all of us he had written. So now, when you hear, for us it may be fun. See, when I call some brahmacharis and some of the congregation brahmacharis, once we had a meeting, you know, we called all the people whom we thought can do Bhakti Vrikshana. So we were telling that, you know, you all can do Bhakti Vrikshana, let us start in Pune and everything. So we called for a meeting, you know, only half of them showed up. And the next meeting, even half of them showed up. Meeting. So generally we take it lightly, you know, this kind of instruction. Like if you tell someone that, you know, you should preach, you should start a Bhakti Vrikshana. So a person, he just hears it like this and he just leaves it like that. They don't take it very seriously. But there are others, this is one thing I have seen Krishna Swaran Prabhu stressing a lot in his 10-day lectures in December and July. He teaches people to take the instructions very seriously, with very great attention and seriousness. That means if someone speaks something, especially your superior speak, when you hear it, one should pay attention. Oh, he told me, what did he say? He told that I should preach. Oh, it has become instruction. He told me to preach. Then one should go and actually inquire, Prabhuji, he told me to preach. Where do you want me to preach? How much should I preach? How much should I guide? At what level I should hand over the people to you or to somebody, you know? Or, you know, some kind of... So, that kind of seriousness we don't have, because sometimes we take things lightly. We think it's fun. Like, you know, you tell, we are going to have a Bhakti Vriksha meeting, please all of you come. I mean, Bhakti Vriksha leaders meeting. Then a phone call you get. Prabhuji, what is going to be the agenda in the meeting? Somebody was asking me about the Bhakti Vriksha. I said, agenda, there are many, many things. You know, Akhinda Krishna Prabhu is going to tell you about how to facilitate a, you know, discussion. And Balavan Prabhu is going to tell you, you know, how to approach people. And they were asking, what about you? They were asking. I said, no, I may not be there because, you know, I am out of station. I said, okay, Prabhuji, kept it on. They didn't come for the meeting, you know. So, why I am saying, see, I am requesting them to attend the meeting, although it may be conducted by anybody. So, it all depends on how we take instructions when we hear. And the same thing permeates all our activities. How you do what you do. For example, you have to cook in the kitchen, Rajabhog, or you have to make garland, Mataji's make garland. Or Prabhuji may be preaching. These are activities we practically do. But with what consciousness we do becomes very important. Because if the consciousness is not there, neither we make much progress nor the others make much progress. Unless we put our consciousness into the act that we are doing, people don't benefit much by that. Like sometimes we may think that we are preaching, but if it is not transforming the hearts of others, we have to take a closer look at ourselves. That probably I have to put more consciousness in what I am doing. In any activity, it's not only preaching, whether it is sweeping the floor or whether it is, like for example, I tell you, you are going to Bombay. You are going to Bombay. Please, if you meet Gaurang Prabhu, please offer my obeisances. Okay, Prabhu, Jai Hari. And then you go to Bombay and you may not convey at all. Some people don't do that. But there are very serious Vaishnavas in our society. They will go to Bombay, and if they see the devotee, they will go, they will offer obeisances first. They will stand up and again offer one more obeisances. And then they will say that, Prabhuji, Rajasham Prabhu told me to offer obeisances to you. And I am conveying it. This is standard in ISKCON, many places. You know that? Yeah. So, in Vaishnavas, the way we hear attentively what is actually told to us, it depends on that. And then if you hear attentively, and you apply attentively, and you invest your consciousness, you will see that you make a very rapid progress. Very, very rapid progress. So it's very, very important. Then actually, that is the way the person becomes more and more dedicated to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Many times we find we may hear, but we don't remember much. Like I heard that when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam class, if the class stops, as soon as he says, Kanantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, jai, you say. If the class also stops for you, that means you have not heard the class at all. But if the class keeps ringing in your ears, after you go, oh, Prabhupada spoke like this, or this devotee spoke like that, that was a powerful point. This was a thrilling point. This I can just not forget. This example was so good. I am going to tell some other devotee. Like that, if your heart is, you know, throbbing with remembrance of what you heard in the Bhagavatam class, that means you have really heard the class. Actually, Krishna consciousness is a question of consciousness. It is not just an external form. It's not just doing the activity. Everyone can do the activities which we all are doing. It's very easy to do. But if we put our consciousness, that means we have to become more contemplative in our Krishna conscious life. Contemplative means, like, you know, you read Bhagavatam, or you read Bhagavad Gita, or you hear a lecture, or you watch a video, or you attend a meeting. After you disconnect that activity, still the remembrances and thoughts and the remnants of that should be remaining in our mind. And you will see in great personalities such a behavior, you will see. Like Prabhupada, you know, when he was in India, he was climbing up in the airplane. That time Prabhupada was telling the personal servant that you see, wherever you go in India, everywhere you find green grass. And these people say that there cannot be any life in other planets, he was telling. And then he climbed up and then he didn't speak a word, complete pin drop silence. And then they got down in Australia, and the disciple was, like, you know, sitting next to Prabhupada in the flight, and Prabhupada was either chanting or reading, completely silent. When they got down in Australia again, Prabhupada walked and the disciple walked behind him. And see, he said, just see, in India we saw green grass, and here we see the same green grass. And the scientists say there is no life on other planets. He was telling like that. So Prabhupada was very contemplative. I observed it in many sannyasis also. Like if Maharaj gives a Bhagavatam class in the morning, in the evening also he will quote it also. You have seen that? And the next day also he will be speaking, sometime he will personally talking to people. That means the Krishna conscious things, they create a deep impression in people's minds. It has a lasting effect. That actually is what purifies us. Otherwise we cannot become purified very easily. If we disconnect ourselves from that sound vibration, which is supposed to be ringing in our mind, then we cannot become purified. But if it becomes soaked, this is actually called as absorption, as we call it. One time, I think it was Jayadeva Swami, I think. He was sitting in Vyasasana, and there were four sannyasis sitting with them in Radha Gopinath temple. And he asked all of them, please tell me in one word, what is the essence of Krishna consciousness? He was asking each of them. So when they asked Radhanath Swami, he said, absorption, he said. One word he said. So he said absorption. So absorption comes from contemplation. It begins with contemplation and it ends in absorption. Like that. You can see that. And when one is in absorption, then the other things follow, which I said in the beginning. Like when one is in absorption, then one is very enthusiastic. One is convinced about what one is doing. And one is committed, responsible, one becomes a totally sold out slave of the spiritual master, and one can go on and on and on like that. And all the other things which we were talking in the beginning, they all follow from this one thing which we do. So we have to take seriously anything we do, any small thing we do, we should do it with full seriousness, not take things very cheaply or casually. So this is one very good quality, which actually ultimately culminates in dedication. So as far as this folk meeting is concerned, actually I have some paper with me. See, this was one of the earlier meetings where I had asked some of the boys who were about to marry and some who had just married. So they gave some topics for discussion in such meetings like this. Like how can, I'll read out the topics. I have 8 topics here. How can a grihastha attain perfection? Proper attitude towards other ashrams. role that Grihasthas can play in the immediate times and in long term for our project, dealings with karmis and dealings with other Grihasthas, dealing with other Guru's disciples than one's own Guru. Sadhana standards, that is ideal for advancement, discipline and freedom, and principles of pure living that includes responsibilities in Grihastha Ashram. So these are 8 topics. So which these are practical application topics for Grihasthas. So I feel that this kind of topics could be one part of the meeting. Like some of the topics that are given here. Like myself and Krishna Kishapu went to Hyderabad and we did a 2-day seminar for the Grihasthas, isn't it? There he spoke some topics, they were actually very amazing. 60-70 people attended and they were really thrilled. What are the topics today? One was responsibilities of Grihasthas. One thing I did. What else I did? One more thing I did. One more. Husband wife dealings also he did, yeah. He did dramas and all that. Skits, isn't it? Yeah. So that was very, very interesting. So I was asking him also whether in your counselor meetings these things are taught. If any of these topics are covered in council meeting, then we will not cover here. We don't have to cover here. But so I have left some more place for more topics. So the paper will come to you. You could add in this. And also you could add behind also if there are more topics. So this is practical application and topics in Grihastha Ashram. Then we also have other topics like personal application topics, like the one which I spoke today, on dedication I spoke today. So we could have some topic like that, every time maybe half an hour or something, which will be inspirational topic based on some pastimes and examples and everything. And I also have one more section called as preaching application topics. So I recently made a syllabus for the congregation preaching. So there's about 4 pages, I'll pass it to all of you, you all can see this. So there are totally 35 lessons. This, which is not for all of you, this is for you to teach the upcoming congregation, like what we call as Bhakti Vriksh, no? Like if you want to take Bhakti Vriksh, this notes will be made available to you and you can teach this to other people. But in this program, what we will do in the folk program is every time we will spend about say 15-20 minutes on some essential points on teaching this lesson. So how this topic could be taught, you know. So that means, you know, we are not going to go into the depth of the lesson. We will only say that, you know, for this you can use a picture, for this you can use a chart, you know, for this you can use this stoka, an example like that. So I will be giving these notes to all of you for each lesson. And then we will only talk some few minutes about how to teach this lesson, this preaching application. So we have made this syllabus because many times people have been talking. So these topics have been very carefully chosen. It will take about, like, you know, lessons 1 to 18 takes 20 sessions, and course 2, we are calling it as a home study course on essence of Bhagavad Gita, we are going to call it like that. And lessons 19 to 35 takes 20 sessions. So totally it takes about 40 sittings. That means if you are teaching weekly once, so it will take you 40 sittings to teach people. And another 12 sessions you can take on basic Vaishnava etiquette. So if you complete this 1-year training, then that person can be tested for understanding of this Siddhant and all. Then they can be sent for initiation after that, if they are qualified. So this I'm going to make it a standard for all the Guru's disciples in Pune, whomever I have to sign for initiation. Because what used to happen is that the congregation used to wonder whenever the test used to come, we made some sample questions. So they used those sample questions as a means to teach the people, you know. People started cramming the answers to those questions, you know. And also whenever I take an interview or test, you know, then they immediately note down the questions, what all questions I ask. And then they train the people in those questions like that, you know. So I didn't like that idea. I thought that we'll make a solid syllabus. And these are all very basic topics. You all know these things already very well. You all, I'm sure, not only you know these topics, you must have taught also to some people the basic topics. But this is good enough for your first a devotee going for first initiation. So we are going to make it a standard syllabus. Basics, the basics are based on proper small books. So we can spend about maybe 15-20 minutes every time on how to teach the lesson. Prabhuji's, Mataji's, all can learn, and then you can also teach it to other people. So three things I told you now. One is discussing the preaching topics and discussing the practical application in Grihastashram topics. And third one I said? Personal application topics from the this thing, yeah. Besides that, Krishna Prabhu has said another thing also, the Bhagavatam reading, isn't it? One of the things in the Bhagavatam reading, sections are very big and I don't know how will we fit in. Even in 3 hours, probably we cannot finish one section. Or we can keep like this. We can, I was telling, we can have 1 month meeting in Bhagavatam focus and the next month meeting on things like this. So I am going to give papers to all of you now, empty papers, where you will write something on what I spoke now. You can give like this papers to everyone. So in this paper, what to write, I'll tell you. We can have personal session. Oh, today also can have. If you all have time, I have time also. Your time.
Yeah. Sir, I wanted to ask everybody.